Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Timothy and chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you would and you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning again, what a blessing it has already been just being in church this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. And I pray now, God, that you would just anoint the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again and as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, I preached on Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, becoming Paul the Apostle, the Christian. And boy, how we emphasize the idea that there's so many Sauls that are waiting to hear the truth about Jesus Christ, who would then become Paul's. And what a difference that would make in our world if we would have more Sauls becoming Paul's. From that point, Saul's becoming Paul and Paul's salvation, from that point in life, Paul faced many situations in life where he had to continue to fight to keep the faith. It wasn't easy for Paul, and it would get even harder for Timothy. Thus, we have Paul writing to young Timothy, what we've just read, and it would even be harder for all those who would follow in this New Testament church age. He writes and he says in verse 3, for the time will come. It would on a course. This is what's going to happen toward the end of times, but it will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. So we have in God's word that the understanding that this is where it's going. This will happen on planet Earth. And it was hard for Paul, it would be harder for Timothy, and possibly because of these things, continue to be harder and harder throughout this New Testament church age to keep the faith. Paul gives a charge and then a personal testimony to Timothy. And I believe that God has recorded it for us today. And that's what we've read here. A charge and a testimony. Paul's charge, when he says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, a charge is to cause to be excited or moved to action. He says, Timothy, you have to be moved to action. And by the charge and the testimony that I'm going to present to you, I trust it will move you to action to where you're going to be able to accomplish all that God has you here to accomplish, and you're going to be able to keep the faith so that others who come behind you will be able to accomplish their purpose for life and be able to keep the faith, and then that will continue and continue and continue all the way to the end of the church age. Believers accomplishing what God has you here in your dispensation of time and to keep the faith. Now, his charge was before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love that because in this charge, it was in light of God the Father and God the Son's presence. As we might give a charge or receive a charge, I like both. As I stand up and preach, every time I stand up and preach the Word of God, I'm giving a charge. And there's never been a time, and I never want there to be a time, that I actually give a charge from the Word of God without being aware of it's in the presence of God the Father, and God the Son. When I go somewhere and I listen to someone else giving the charge, and I listen to somebody else teaching the Word, I always want to be aware of not what he is saying, but that what God is going to say to me through him. So if I'm going to give a charge or I'm going to receive a charge, as Paul reveals this to Timothy, it's in light of the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Amen. I trust that you're aware of that even today. As I've prepared all week long for the messages that God would have me to preach, I've been aware of God. One of the main reasons I come out here on Saturday night is to just to be aware of God, to present myself to him and to be aware of God. Only he knows who's going to be here. I'm up here looking out to an empty auditorium, but I know that God knows who's going to be here, and I know that certain ones are going to come, and I just want to prepare myself to be aware of God in presenting the charge that everyone needs. And Satan's going to try to work to keep you away from hearing the charge. And when it's the most difficult for you to get here is when there's the charge that is going to benefit you the most. Yeah. So Paul's charge was in light of God the Father and God the Son's presence. And he says, this is his charge, preach the word. Because you're aware of God. And what the people need is God and his word. Not just preach. Preach the word. Focus not on your message, but on his message. Amen. That's so important today. Preach God's word. And when you know you're preaching God's word and you understand who God is, you will preach it without apology. You've heard me say this before. If I have offended you in how I've presented it, I do apologize. I do not want to offend anybody. I want to help people to understand who God is and receive the message that God has for you. And so if I get in the way of God's message, if I say something or do something that is not led by the Holy Spirit of God, and it might offend you in something that I've said or something that I do, I will apologize for that. But I will never apologize for preaching the word. Because it's God's word, and it is what everyone will stand before God and give an account for. So I'm going to preach it without apology. And I'm going to receive it without apology. Amen. That's why we have a copy that you can bring with you to make sure that whatever is being preached is coming from this Bible right here. It is God's word that we are to live by. It's God's word that we are to receive and apply to our lives. So if you're going to give a charge, make sure you're preaching the word. If you're going to receive a charge, make sure you're listening to someone who's standing before you and has spent some time with God, that knows His word, understands His word, and is presenting it to you to receive it. Yeah. That's what Paul's charge here is all about. It's the truth that all will be judged by, because it's in light of God the Father, and God the Son, and by He says, who shall judge the quick or the living at that time, and the dead who have died before that time of judgment, at His appearing and His kingdom. All will stand before God and give an account for His word. Thus, there's a need for a charge. And there's a need to receive a charge. Preach it, even when you experience what He says we're going to experience. For the time will come when they, humanity, people. God so loved the world. That's a world of humanity. And He wants them to understand that He loved them so much that He sent His Son to die for them. And not only did He send His Son to die for them, but He also sent His Son to live an example and to present to us a life to follow. Amen. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Bible preaching. They'll forsake Bible preaching for worldly philosophies. Are we there? In the United States of America, we're continuing to head in that direction. In my lifetime, I've seen a drastic change. Not everybody's going to live godly. Not everybody's going to be in church. That hasn't changed. But their thinking of the church, their mentality concerning the church, their mentality thinking the Bible, their mentality of Bible preachers has changed. And it continues to change. And it will continue to change. Because the Bible says it will come. And they will not endure sound doctrine. what they're going to want is something that's going to appease their flesh. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and say to others, you don't really believe that. You don't really believe in a creator God. You don't really believe in the Bible stories. You don't really believe that Jesus was virgin born. You don't really believe that he actually resurrected from the grave. You don't actually believe that he was the very one who created all things and now he's walking on planet Earth in a human body. Surely you don't believe that. That's exactly where we're at today. And whether you're not, if you understand or not, that's exactly what they're trying to deprogram your children to believe. It's going to come. It is coming. And they shall. And they are doing it. Paul's charge ends with verse 5. I love that. But, Timothy. But, 21st century preachers. But, 21st century church members. But, 21st century believers. Watch thou in all things. Just be aware of the word of God and just keep that in mind as you're watching things in the world. As you're observing things that are taking place all around you. Endure affliction. But do the work of an evangelist. That's what we're all called to do, to be witnesses. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul is charging Timothy to accomplish your ministry, your call, your purpose. And as Paul would challenge Timothy with this letter, God says, it's my letter, it's my words through Paul to Timothy, and I have more than just Timothy in mind, I have the entire church age in mind. And so to us today, he's saying, understand all these things, but accomplish what you're here for. In light of God the Father, in light of God the Son, in light of God the Holy Spirit, in light of God's precious word that has been preserved for us, don't lose sight of the most important thing in your life. God's will. And accomplish it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to get harder and harder. But you can accomplish it. You can accomplish it. Paul did. Timothy would. And so can we. That's the charge. And then the testimony. The testimony, verse 6 and 7, he becomes personal. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I, his testimony, first of all, have fought a good fight. Are you fighting? If you're not fighting, you've already lost. Because if you're going to maintain the testimony that God wants you to maintain in the world that we're living in today, if you're going to accomplish what you're here to accomplish and the purpose for God in your life, you're going to have to fight. If you're not fighting, you don't have the testimony. You've already lost the battle. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, let me read to you this. 1 Timothy, the first letter he sent to Timothy, he says in verse 18, this charge, another charge, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Do we have that? Do we have that good conscience between you and your spirit? Between you and God? Do I have that good conscience? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, stop fighting concerning faith and have made shipwreck. They've lost. They've crashed. They no longer have the testimony that God wanted them to have. Wow. When we stop fighting, we will be defeated. And to be defeated as a born-again believer is to lose our testimony for Christ. I never want to do that. I did that as a teenager. I've lived the rest of my life wishing I could go back and relive that. But you can't. That period of time, I had failed the purpose that God had me here to fulfill. Now, he would use that in my life. There's no doubt about that. He allowed it only so that he could use it. It was never his perfect will that I do that. Don't get confused at that. Most miserable time in my life is when I had lost my testimony and knew it because I was saved. Don't want to do that. If you're not going to do that, then you're going to have to continue to fight, because there is a spiritual battle going on. There is a spiritual warfare, and Satan is against everything that God stands for, and it's not going to get easier. You got to fight to maintain the testimony that God has for us. His personal testimony was, I have fought a good fight. Yeah. The second of his personal testimony is, I have finished my course. Everyone has a race to run. Everyone has been given a course for your life. But Paul says here, I have finished. Now, you might think you're done. Sometimes we think, I'm finished working in the nursery. I put in my time. It's for younger kids to do it now. It's for the younger generations. I don't have any children, any young ones anymore. It's for them to do it. And yet God has equipped you to love babies and to love children and to work with them and to make a difference. And you're done? Listen to me. You're not done until God says you're done. Time for somebody else to run the bus. It's time for somebody else to do the junior church. It's time for somebody else to teach a Sunday school class. On and on. Listen to me. You're not finished until God says you're finished. Keep running the race. I don't care who you are, what you've lost, how old you are. If you're still alive, yeah, there's still part of the race yet to be run. God has a purpose for you being here, or you wouldn't be here. I finished. Only God can reveal this to us. And that's why Timothy was able to say that, because of verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. He would be offered, martyred, and the time of my departure is at hand. The only reason he says I finished, because he knew his life was over. God had already revealed to him, you're going to suffer martyrdom. You're going to die. But you've already written, Timothy, or Paul, you've already written something that'll help you here. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was looking for gain in telling Timothy, I've finished. What a joy. What a joy when you can leave this world knowing that you've finished God's purpose for your life. Yeah. Personal testimony. And then he says in the last, I have kept the faith. To keep it, you must have first received it. You have to know that you have it in order to fight to keep it. Many of those that are not ready and willing to fight to keep it never had it. If you can turn your back on God, if you can turn your back on Jesus Christ, if you can turn your back on the Bible, chances are you never had it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm almost done here, so follow with me. Follow with me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul would write to the church at Corinth, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. Just to know it, it's not good enough. You have to have received it. And the only way that you receive it is to desire it. It cannot and will not be forced upon you. Just because your parents made you go to church doesn't mean that you've been saved. Just because your parents possibly even took your head, bowed your head, and told you what to say doesn't mean that you've received it. To receive it, you had to desire it of your own personal free will. Ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, because you received it and you're making a stand for it. That's evidence of salvation. If you keep in memory which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain, unless you really didn't believe it. If you really didn't believe it, then you really didn't receive it. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, based it on the Bible. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He learned to love what he had at one point hated. But he received it. And once he knew who Jesus was and he received the gospel of Christ, he would learn to love what he had spent his whole life before then hating and wanting to destroy. What a change. What a change. Only you know if you have received it. If you've received it, then you've had to have a love for it. You had to have a desire for it. You had to understand it. You had to say, yes, I understand it, and that's what I want. And it's worth fighting for. I have kept the faith. Kept the faith. Paul's faith, as ours, will be tested. Paul's was tested throughout the scriptures. We learn much. He kept it when faced with infirmities. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul developed an infirmity of the flesh, which he had himself, with the power of God, healed others. He had himself seen God heal far worse infirmities than what he had. He had seen God heal lepers, resurrect the dead. But now Paul is faced with infirmity that he knew God could heal, but didn't. Would that test your faith? God could have made a difference here, and he didn't. Now I've got to live the rest of my life with an infirmity that he could have healed me of, but he didn't. Would that test your faith when God doesn't do what you want him to do? Does that test your faith when God doesn't do what you think he ought to do? And you know he could, but he chose not to. Will that test your faith? Is that testing your faith right now? 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 9, this after this test of Paul's faith, this is what the Bible records Paul saying. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said unto me, this is what God revealed to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You don't need a healing, Paul. You got my grace. Yeah, easy for you to say. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's a purpose. Paul says then, knowing this, most gladly, therefore, I know this, I've heard this, this is what God's given to me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he kept his faith. Tested? Yes, it was tested. But he kept his faith. He kept it when allowed to be persecuted and left for dead. Acts chapter 14. God, you allowed, all I'm doing is preaching, all I'm doing is witnessing, and you allowed these Jews to come and stone me to the place where I was left for dead. They thought I was dead, or they would have continued to stone me until they knew I was dead. Acts 14, verse 19. And they came hither, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. He's in the city just witnessing, just trying to help people to come to know Christ. And they came and they stoned him. And after they would stone somebody to death with big, huge rocks, they would take them outside the city and let their bodies decay in the sun. Paul was left outside the city to decay, for his body to decay in the sun. Would that test your faith? Knowing who God was and knowing that God could have prevented that and God would have and should have, but he didn't. Would that test your faith? I kept the faith. That's what Paul said. Even being stoned to death and left for dead. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, it was testing their faith too. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas unto Derbe to do it all over again. I think he kept the faith. He didn't quit. He fought through whatever kind of thoughts that Satan would plant in his mind. He rejected those thoughts. He fought through those thoughts, and he kept the faith. Personal testimony. Personal testimony. He kept the faith even when he was forsaken by his close so-called Christian friends and left all alone. It'll test your faith when somebody that you think should be there, and it's not. They truly were my friend. If they truly loved me in Christ, they would be there. Because they're not there, and you're not fighting for your faith, you walk away from your faith. 2 Timothy, right there in our text, chapter 4, right after our text that we read, it happened to Paul. He said in verse 16, chapter 4, at my first answer, he's getting ready to be martyred for the cause of Christ. My first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. How can I continue to serve the Lord if no one is willing to stand with me, if no one's willing to encourage me, no one's willing to help me, and I feel all alone? Are you being tested? Are you being tested and you having wrong thoughts about spiritual leaders, church, God's presence of being there? You're going to be tested. Your faith will be tested. But you need to fight to keep the faith. Paul would write in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He kept the faith. Should somebody else have been there? Should somebody else have stand up and talk and be on his side when he was being judged? Yes. But that doesn't mean if they're not that you lose your faith. Because the truth of it is, you're never alone. God is always there. Even though he might allow you to go through a time of testing, you're never alone. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul's charge and testimony, no doubt, would have been a tremendous help to Timothy. And can I tell you, no doubt, 2,000 years later, it's been a great help to this preacher. And I trust it'll be a great help to you today. If I could have every head bowed at this point. Receive Paul's charge. Receive Paul's testimony. And be helped and strengthened by it. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the charge that we find here recorded in 2 Timothy. And not only do we thank you for this charge, it ought to motivate us and excite us to fight, but we thank you for this personal testimony. And so many others throughout the years and ages that we can learn from and be blessed by. I pray that you'd help us, first of all, make sure of our own salvation, then to make sure that we're willing to fight and to keep the faith. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.